A.W. Tozer once said, "Our most pressing obligation is to do all in our power to obtain a revival that will reform, revitalize, and purify the church. Each generation of Christians is the seed of the next, and degenerate seed is sure to produce a degenerate harvest." End of quote. Now, I'm sure, beloved, that none of us here would like to that to be our legacy, to our faith legacy to our children and their children's children. So open your Bibles, if you haven't done so yet, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and would you stand with me, please, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and the title of our message this evening is Defeat to Deliverance. Defeat to Deliverance. 2 Chronicles 20, beginning in verse 1. "And it came to pass after these also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them Ada, beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, my friend, your friend, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it in our hands. Preserve for us all these generations. Lord, I pray now that as I would attempt to deliver this message, Lord, speak to us, meet with us. Holy Spirit, teaching us your truth, fill in the gaps that I would miss. And Lord, the thoughts and intents of our heart would be indeed submitted to you right now. I pray for all of us as your people this evening that we would be ready to hear your message for us. And Lord, that once again, if there is one, two or three even, it's in our midst, do not know the Lord Jesus, your Son, as their Savior. would tonight be another opportunity for them to yield themselves to you, to accept their sinfulness, their hopelessness, to understand that they needed Jesus, and that, Lord, that He died on their stead so that they have the opportunity to live with You forever and ever. As we look to the dark days ahead, as we're seeing them now, give us comfort and confidence this evening that You are our God and we are Your people. We give You praise and thanks indeed for the wonder that is Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Defeat to deliverance. I'd like us to consider yet another account in the Bible of a man, as I've mentioned. A man who started well, and like many of us, got lost along the way sometime in his life. But praise God, he returned unto the Lord. He returned unto the Lord and indeed finished well. This man was Jehoshaphat, and in chapter 17, like his father Asa, the Bible says that he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. That the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. You see that in chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Now, after having been blessed by God in abundance with riches, with honor, castles and cities of store, the Bible says, so much so that the other kingdoms would not war against Jehoshaphat and Judah. Instead, they gave him presents. They gave him tributes. They gave him honor of silver even, and thousands of rams and he goats. And then in chapter 18, after all of that, we find this Jehoshaphat making an alliance with the wicked king Ahab. Mercy. Indeed, mercy. Ahab, and again I say, never name your child Ahab, please. Okay? This king is wicked as can be. Now, King Jehoshaphat, up to this time, enjoyed peace. A rest in his land. Now in chapter 18, he found himself going to war at Ramoth Gilead with Ahab. And you remember that famous but foolish statement of Jehoshaphat, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. No, they're not. They're different. They're not the same. Ahab and his people are as heathen and as vile as they come. They are not the same. They are wicked. They are godless. They are at war. And none of that, at least up to this time, is Jehoshaphat and Judah. They have rest in the land. They have riches in the land. They have the resources that God gives to them. But Ahab had an ungodly alliance with Ahab. Now, what is the result of this ungodly alliance? What else could it be? If we align ourselves, if we compromise ourselves with an ungodly man or woman, or we yoke with an ungodliness, what else could happen? What is expected to happen? Well, we can see it here. And let me warn us that any time that we depart from the Lord and His will, we will have deception. There will be defeat. And yes, could be even death. Anytime that we take our gaze upon the Savior, and anytime that we get lost along the way, anytime that we veer off the straight and narrow, I can guarantee you on the authority of God's word, there will be difficulties. And so, death came upon Ahab. But by the grace and mercy of God, and only because of the grace and mercy of God, Jehoshaphat survived this battle. Chapter 19 takes us to Jehoshaphat returning unto Jerusalem. He was welcomed, albeit with rebuke, and rightly so, by Hanani the prophet. Now look with me in chapter 19 and in verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. Jehu is the one who met him. And said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. But verse 3, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and watched it, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Prepare thine heart to seek God. Did you notice that? There are good things. Now, this person, this king, aligned himself in the most wicked king ever, Ahab. And here there is a rebuke from the seer, from Jehu, and yet it says there that Jehoshaphat had some good things about him. And that's a wonderful read. You know what, beloved? This gives me hope. Indeed. Hope, because you and I had some times in our lives where we got lost along the way. True? Am I the only one? Somewhere along the line in our journey, in our Christian life, we have lost ourselves. We got distracted. We took our eyes off the Lord and we went on our own merry way, in the wisdom and the strength of man, and we've lost. We got deceived. We suffered some losses. We had some difficulties. But you know, I take comfort in the fact that the Lord, as always, knows and sees our hearts. And here Jehoshaphat prepared to seek God. Beloved, you and I, even in our times of troubles, in our times of wandering, we didn't kill anyone. We didn't really rob the bank. We didn't do anything superfluous like that. But somehow this little piece of muscle in our bodies and this little watery part in our head, these two got lost. And our gaze upon the Savior is not the same as we had before. Perhaps we made some alliances that we shouldn't have had. Perhaps we made some wrong turns and detour along the way, like the Israelites of old. Perhaps we murmured. Perhaps we complained. Perhaps we have journeyed through life with all of these things, and as a consequence we suffered or are suffering defeat at the moment. Some losses, perhaps. We have been deceived by our very own deceitful and wicked heart. But just like Jehoshaphat, perhaps there are good things found in us still. And there is always good things in the child of God. Now, would to God that after that we realize that we have lost our way, that we would be prepared or are preparing our hearts to seek the Lord. The Bible says that that's what Jehoshaphat did. He went about the people in his kingdom, and look at verse 4 here. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask them help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And here in chapter 19 and in verse 4, Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord of their fathers. Clearly, he led them astray by his alliance with Ahab. But here in verse 4 of chapter 19, after that he sorted himself out with the Lord, he brought them back to their fathers. Jehoshaphat appointed judges in the land here in verse 6 and said to the judges, take heed, chapter 19, verse 6, take heed that what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Verse 9, he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect. That means a loyal heart. And then in verse 10, he warned them about breaking the law and therefore sinning against the Lord. And so we can see Jehoshaphat here had repented of his sins and had actively sought the Lord, not only for himself, but also for the kingdom that he leads. And indeed, the kingdom that he led astray. Have you done that, beloved? Perhaps in the time of your backsliding, in that time where you got lost along the way and you've led people astray, have you brought them back to the Lord, or at least attempted to? Have you looked at them in the face and told them that I was wrong? I have led you astray. Would you come back with me, back to the Lord? Come back to the place where we have fallen? Have we done that? Perhaps we have become a stumbling block to someone, to your friends, family, or perhaps even here within the fellowship. If you haven't, I pray that you and I would do it, that we will have the conviction, the commitment, and indeed the courage to look at someone in the eye and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I trust that we would, by God's grace. No doubt Jehoshaphat squared things with the Lord. That's what happened here. Now what happens when you rededicate your life to the Lord? Satan attacks. There will be testing. There'll be temptations. There'll be trials. You see, Satan doesn't like happy endings. He likes misery. He is a deceiver. He is the father of lies. And he doesn't relent, beloved. He doesn't give you and me a break. He wants disaster for the life of a believer. And so that came here in the shape of an impending attack from the Ammonites and the Moabites. Now let's see how Jehoshaphat handled these temptations and trials. From fear to faith. That's our first point. From fear to faith. We pick up the account here in chapter 20. Firstly, we find Jehoshaphat in fear. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Brought memories at the time that we were in Israel. Chris, you remember that in Gedi, where the waterfalls is? And Jehoshaphat, verse 3, feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. Now, who was he afraid of? It's clearly written here, the Ammonites and the Moabites. Now, who are these people? Who are the Ammonites and who are the Moabites? These are pagan worshippers of the false god Milcom and Molech. I don't have time to tell you what their practices are, but it's pretty horrid. And you, if you have time, it's a wonderful study. They were descendants of Lot from an incestuous relation with his own daughters. Genesis chapter 19, verse 37. They were also the ones who refused to let the Israelites pass through the land on their way to Canaan during the wilderness wanderings after they left Egypt. The Moabites and the Ammonites have always been an ongoing enemies of the Israelites. But the sad thing here is they're actually relos. They're what we call cousins in conflict. You have those in your family? Somehow, because you're a believer, you are treated like an enemy. Sometimes there is an issue that really so petty, but because we're all proud and didn't want to accept our wrongdoings, it has ballooned into something that is now huge. And the goalpost has moved. This was the issue. Suddenly, this is now the issue. And tomorrow, this will be the issue. And no one wants to admit wrong. These are the guys. They are at each other's throat. They are really relos. Can I just say, if that's happening in your family, sort it out. It will destroy your family. It will linger on, not just in your generation, but in your children and their children's children. Be a peacemaker. Take the initiative, because if you don't, you will regret it later on. Time is not always long as we think it, and they may pass on to glory without you being able to make it right to those people. Anyway, Jehoshaphat was in fear, but notice what he did back in verse 3. He set himself to seek the Lord, and number 2, he declared a fast throughout all Judah. Yes, he was in fear, but he sorted himself first. He sought the Lord, and then he enjoined. This is the point that I want to make. He enjoined the kingdom. He wasn't going to go and do it alone this time. He enjoined the people of his kingdom. Perhaps he said, folks, we are in this together. He must have learned his lesson previously when he aligned himself with Ahab. We find no evidence in the scripture of actually him enjoining his people. He made that decision himself as the king of Judah to say, we are as thou art. He has put in jeopardy the life of his constituents by that ungodly alliance. But then he said, firstly, we need to fast unto the Lord. Beloved, what is fasting? First of all, understand that the Bible does not directly command or require Christians to fast. Okay? However, the same Bible records fasting to be a good and profitable practice for the believers. Fasting and prayer are always recorded together. The early church in the book of Acts fasted before or when they are about to make a very important decision. Fasting is not done to lose weight. Fasting is not done to be more spiritual than others or to demand or force God to give us what we want. Fasting is a way of demonstrating to God how serious we are in our reliance to Him through prayer. It is a way to deepen our relationship to God. Fasting is supposed to change us, not to change God and His will. Now, I'm concerned many times when fasting is mentioned, it seems that the focus is always on food and not the Lord. It shouldn't be, you know. Fasting is not just about abstinence from food. You can fast from just about anything that takes your head and heart from this world. It's you giving up for a time the indulgences and the enticements of this wicked world to make you more focused unto the Lord. It could be the time that you're spending on your mobile phone. It could be a fast. It could be the long hours that you spend in front of your computer or your television instead of taking the Word of God and reading and praying. By taking our eyes off from the indulgences of this world and the enticements that it offers, by fasting we can focus more attention to Christ. That is what biblical fasting is all about. There's really no super mythical science about it. It's you taking a time, devoting that precious time away from all the distractions of this world to commune with your God. Fasting. So Jehoshaphat, from being fearful, still fearful, but the difference this time is that he sought the Lord, not any other, in this fear. He declared a fast, not just for himself, but for the whole kingdom. And notice how the people responded here in verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together, to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Oh, how I pray, Calvary Baptist Church, that that's what we would do in this year, 2021. That collectively as a church, that we would all together seek the Lord. Secondly, notice the prayer for protection by Jehoshaphat in verse 5. He hallowed God by declaring His power. In verse 6, Him being the powerful God of heaven. Verse 7 onwards, Jehoshaphat invoked the promises of God. And now here in verse 10, Jehoshaphat prayed for protection. That is some prayer from Jehoshaphat. Do you pray like that? Do we believe God to be the God of heaven and indeed the earth? The Almighty God that He is, full of power? Do we appeal and invoke His promises to us as His children, knowing that what He promised He will deliver? Do we cry unto God in our affliction for Him to hear and help? Verse 9. Do we acknowledge that we have no might against our enemies and we do not know what to do and our eyes upon the Lord? Obviously, the whole Judah here represents the fathers, the wives, their little ones, as it's described here. All of their eyes are upon the Lord. Can I ask you, dads, does your children know your prayers? Does your little ones, are they aware of what you're praying for? Do you confirm with them and enjoin them in your prayers? You know why? Because when the little Josiahs and the little Julios and the little Samuels and Williams and Bens and Kairas and Alana and Bella and Eva and all these little ones, as early as now, if we enjoin them in prayer, and when they see God answers prayer, they know that your God is the same God that will answer their prayers when they grow older. Little ones, don't dismiss your little ones. Enjoin them in your prayers as a family so they can testify in their own young hearts that when daddy was asking for an additional fund to fix the car and it did come, then daddy can say, God did that. And from a young boy's heart, for a little girl's heart, that is important for them to understand that God is alive and he answers prayers. Jehoshaphat prayed, and so should we. From fear to fight, to prayer for protection, thirdly, stand and see. Stand and see. Jehoshaphat and his kingdom is under siege here. He's got a national disaster before him. There is a battle to be fought. But notice the instruction from the Lord through Jahaziel in verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord." Remember that? As soon as you see that, pay attention. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Number one, the instruction here for Jehoshaphat is found in verse 15. It says, "Be not afraid." Be not afraid. Now, we learn about this extensively in our Wednesday night Bible study. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then verse 2, "Therefore, because he is our strength, he is our refuge, he is our present help in trouble, therefore," verse 2, "will we not fear." God is indeed our refuge. So never fear. Do not fear was the command to him. Number two, because Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours but God's. Now, beloved, just in case you haven't noticed, the church is engaged in many battles at the moment. We're battling from different foes and indeed from different sources. Parts of the world today are contending with persecutions, with people losing their lives in Africa, in India, in China, and indeed for those ones that we do not hear. The restrictions imposed on the gatherings in California and in many parts of the United States. There are plenty of legislations drafted and passed into law against the destruction and the usurping of the biblical models of the family unit and the redefinition of the biblical roles of father, mother, and children. The corruption and the perversion of the creation of the natural man and the woman and the institution of marriage between them two. The imposition of the right to live or die based on what the mortal wanted rather than what the immortal designed and designated. That means the right to abort means to murder and kill babies by the millions daily. The removal of prayer in the classroom and pretty soon to not be able to pray at all. To not be able to pray at all. To limit what one can and cannot say or counsel someone. Beloved, it is coming to a point now that it's not politically correct to call someone a mister or a miss or a missus. You as a parent and I as your pastor, if things continue as they are, we can no longer counsel and pray for our own children, for it's going to be a crime to do so. We're battling, right, left, and center. You can send letters and sign all the petitions you want, but be encouraged, beloved, the battle is God's. And he will fight for us. Jehoshaphat was told to not be afraid, that the battle is the Lord's. And then thirdly, he was told to behold, to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. In verse 16, Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord will be with you. They shall not need to fight in this battle. They have to stand. Not just stand, but stand still. For the Lord will be with them. Notice what Jehoshaphat and the people did in verse 18. They bowed their heads and worshiped. They fell on their faces to the ground to worship the Lord. The instructions were to be not afraid, because the battle is of the Lord, not to fight, but to behold. And so Jehoshaphat's response was to bow his head in worship, in reverence, to trust the Lord. What if they didn't? What if they didn't? I mean, what if they battled through rather than beholding, rather than standing still? What would have happened, you reckon? I think you already know what's the answer to that question. They would have been routed. They would have been defeated. But how many times do you and I, after we are told from the Word of God, fear not, the battle is mine. Behold, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yet we would choose to battle through ourselves. It doesn't make sense, doesn't it? Guilty. Thinking that malaria can fix this. In my own strength and in my own resources, in my own ponderings and in my own thinking, this is the solution, this is what needs to be done. When God clearly told you and I in His Word, many stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, beloved, 2021 is shaping up to be plenty of opportunities to stand still and see the Lord. Oh, would we do it? And then lastly, and we're done after this, because Jehoshaphat need not fear, only needed to behold the things of God, and because he got the spoils for a song. The spoils for a song. Read with me in verse 19. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." Watch this. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should that praised the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.' And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, made an end of the one help to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth. And listen, none escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were, watch it, 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much." What did they do? They sang. They believed God And they sang as they were marching on to the battlefield. They're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's all they did. That's all what they were instructed to do, to believe God, because the battle is with him. The spoil, the plunder, it was bonanza. It's in abundance. It took them 3 days to gather it, for it was so much. You see, this is what happens when we believe God and his word. We may not be in the battle with the Moabites and the Ammonites, but understand, we do battle with our own Moabites and Ammonites of our day. Notice what the people did. They assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka. The word Beraka means blessing. So they gathered literally in the place of blessing. What did they do? They blessed the Lord. You see, when God blesses man, it improves man. We receive some blessing. We become better because of God's blessing. And indeed, we share those blessings. But when man blesses God, it doesn't work that way. You can never improve on God for what or who he already is, because he is perfect. Matthew 5:48. So when it says man bless the Lord, it means man recognize in exclamation of praise, of thankfulness to the God who blessed him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, the psalmist David said. That's what it means. David was full of praise, full of exclamation of the blessing of his holy name. What we see here in Jehoshaphat is they receive abundant spoils. They returned, the Bible says, every man. The implication there is no lives were lost. Indeed, the verse 21, and fear of God, what is that fear? Reverence. The fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against their enemies. Their enemies themselves. Reverence. Not only that, they recognize that it was God himself who fought for them. And then what else happened in verse 30, as I'm hurrying up here? There was rest. Roundabout. Look it up. In verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest. You want rest, beloved? You want abundant blessing? You want your friends, your associates, to reverence and recognize your God? You want to return home safely in the arms of your loved ones? Then believe God and his word, for it is faithful and true. As we face the year that is upon us, with all the prospects that it brings, remember, be not afraid. The battle is the Lord's. It never is ours. And we are to behold and see the salvation of the Lord. After doing all of those, we are to bow in worship and to bless the Lord. Thank him for what he does and continues to do. Tonight, maybe you have lost your way. Perhaps you have turned a wrong detour somewhere. Be a Jehoshaphat. Prepare to seek the Lord. Prepare your heart. There is good thing in you because you are a child of God. But you need, as I do, as you do, to return unto the Lord. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the goodness of it. I pray now, Lord, that as we finish our evening worship service and indeed our worship day, and Lord, as we would be encouraged and motivated to prepare our hearts to seek you And Lord, all throughout this week, that we would covenant together to just pray and be prepared to listen, our hearts, our heads, in tune, what you would have us receive in this, our Revival Sunday. We pray for our preacher, for your servant, Father, that you would indeed provide power from on high, such that as Tulsa has said, that we would have, we will not be a seed of degenerate Christians. We don't want a degenerate harvest. We want a fruitful harvest. We want our legacy to be faithful and true for our children and indeed their children's children. Oh, Father, we seek you and we pray that we would have that desire indeed to believe you and all that you have promised to us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.